Hello and welcome to Lush. Grouse moors, upland areas intensively managed for driven grouse shooting, cover a huge area of Scotland. Regularly burnt to ensure the different heights of heather utilised by red grouse, devoid of anything that gamekeepers consider a threat to red grouse, liberally dotted with medicated grit trays for red grouse, and scarred with permanent tracks to save shooters having to walk up to the thousands of shooting butts to kill red grouse, grouse moors are distinctive and, once you know what you're looking at anyway, easily recognised. While this form of moorland management perhaps appears to be ancient and in harmony with the uplands, it is in fact unnatural and originated only in Victorian times, developing alongside the introduction of breech-loading shotguns and the expansion of railway networks, which made once remote moors increasingly accessible. For well over 100 years, few people questioned whether such a rare and important habitat should be exploited exclusively for a minority so-called sport. But, and perhaps using Dr. Mark Avery's remarkable book, Inglorious Conflict in the Uplands, as its platform, more and more questions are now being asked. Issues from raptor persecution to the mass killing of mountain hares, from peatland carbon storage and nutrient cycling to water quality, soil erosion and air pollution mean that the grouse shooting industry is under intense scrutiny like never before. Now a new coalition, Revive, has formed. Launched in November 2018, its membership includes the campaigning animal welfare charity One Kind, Friends of the Earth Scotland, the League Against Cruel Sports Scotland, the think tank Common Weal, and the hugely influential blog Raptor Persecution UK. All are based in Scotland and all are coming at the problem with different concerns. What all the members of Revive are in agreement with, though, is that reform of these precious areas are not only needed, but urgently needed. What shape that reform will take is still to be decided, but as their recently released report, The Case for Reforming Scotland's Grouse Moors, puts it, our aim is to question why almost a fifth of Scotland is allowed to be used to the detriment of people and animals, and to put forward visions of how it could be better utilised. We look forward to working with anyone who shares our passion for making Scotland a better place. My name is Charlie Moores, and I talked with Max Wisniewski, a spokesperson for Revive, in February this year. I began by asking Max how the coalition had come together and what reform of Scotland's grouse moors might look like.
From my perspective, it starts around what kind of Scotland you want to live in, and that in many ways that's the basis for this, in my opinion anyway. Scotland has so much potential as a country with regard to the amount of resources it has, the talent of its people, and the abundance of its wildlife in many particular areas. But there are many reasons why Scotland isn't using that potential. You get groups like One Kind and the League Against Cruel Sports coming together for the wildlife aspect, and there are many crimes in our wildlife. For land reform, which Common Weal's interested in, there's so much untapped potential there. There are so many things that need to be done in order to move Scotland forward. And when you think about the environmental considerations of Scotland, when you pull all those things together, you come up with grouse moors. In many ways, it was quite organic when building up the coalition, because they're all things which uniquely combine.
When the Revive Coalition says you come together to call for the reform of Scotland's grouse moors, what is that reform that you're looking for?
The Revive campaign's understood the many problems of grouse moors, whether that is raptor persecution, mass outdoor medication, which is medicated grit trays out in the countryside, the use of lead shot, the fact that roads and tracks scar Scotland's countryside and often don't need planning permission, just to name but a few.
Urban climate change, there's so much.
Exactly. There's so many aspects to this. For instance, we'd like to see an end to lead shot being used on grouse moors. We would like to see an end of outdoor mass medication. We would like to see an end to snaring and traps to be heavily restricted, as very often they litter Scotland's countryside in the tens and thousands. So we could look at it like that from a piecemeal perspective and consider that these are things individually want to tackle. However, we have The Verity Commission, as it's known as.
Yeah, yeah.
The Grouse Moor Review Group.
You should be hearing from them in the spring, shouldn't you, this year?
They'll be publishing in the spring, or at least completing their works in the spring. It'll be up to the Scottish Government to decide when it's published to the public. That may be in the summertime. It may not be. It might be later, depending what happens with Brexit. But and that in itself will inform how we take the campaign forward. But you ask what reform might look like. We do see land reform as an important part of a campaign too. There's a move to alter the planning bill in Scottish Parliament at the moment. And in doing so, that would mean that hill tracts, which often don't need the same planning permission as the as the rest of us would if we want to build an extension to our house.
Especially across an SSSI.
Exactly.
Protected area.
It's done for the sake of agricultural reasons, etc. Officially, then they can get away with it. So changing the planning permission rules for that would be something, is something that's not included in the Verity Commission and is something we'd be interested in looking at.
And all of this is important because it's estimated that between 12 and 18% of Scotland's land area is given over to grouse shooting.
That's right. Up to almost a fifth of Scotland is managed for grouse shooting. When I first started this, becoming particularly interested in this campaign before I joined it, that was the one thing that really, really struck me. It's the one thing that strikes anyone that hears these arguments. I think it's a great gateway to the discussion. And you turn that around, you ask the question, you have about 12 to 18% of Scotland, what would you like to do with it? Would you want to burn the hills? Would you want to spray lead shot everywhere? Would you want to persecute animals up and down the country? Would you also like to, you know, expect some government subsidies for it as well? And you only bring in £32 million a year at best for the Scottish economy? Yeah. All those things considered, it adds up to a very strong case for significant radical reform.
Are people, the general public, aware of these facts, do you know, Max? Is that conversation taking place outside of conservation organisations?
There's a large awareness stage of a campaign which we're running right now. We have to start that conversation because a lot of people don't know a lot about these issues. They know something goes on. I can speak from a little bit of experience here. You know it's something that goes on. It's there, but you don't question it too much. There's a lot of awareness raising that we need to do. People see things in isolation, such as the mass killing of mountain hares in Scotland. Footage from a year ago from One Kind and the League Against Cruel Sport showed that, and it provoked comment from the First Minister as well as many others. Piecing all those problems together is a way to raise that awareness. However, it's very clear from polling across Scotland and across the UK more generally, but people are massively against blood sports. And so if you look at it purely from the fact that it's a blood sport, I think you'd find that the majority of Scottish people would be against grouse shooting. And however, they're against an all-out ban, or whether they're for significant reform, I think you'd find the vast, vast majority of Scotland would agree with significant reform of Scotland's grouse moors.
I've not read anything in your report or on your website that states explicitly that Revive is anti-shooting, Max. Clearly some of your coalition members are anti-shooting, but do you consider Revive to be anti-shooting?
It's a good question. As a coalition, there are people in the coalition that absolutely want to ban driven grouse shooting, and that's very understandable. And there are other people that, such as the think tank and perhaps Friends of Earth, who are interested in the issue. It's not their written policy to do so officially. However, they're very interested in the problems that are associated with it from their point of view and reforming it. So as a coalition, we're not asking to ban grouse shooting particularly. But one might argue that if all the problems are reformed and a certain industry can't survive without perpetrating those problems, then there's a serious case to be answered there. However, Revive is not in the business of merely saying, get rid of something and that's it, leave Scotland to it. We are also in the business of reforming with a vision. We've produced a piece of work. It was actually by the think tank Commonweal, called Back to Life, Alternative Visions for Scotland's Grouse Moors. Alternative visions is an important phrasing.
Definitely what I want to get onto next, yeah.
Yeah, because there needs to be community engagement, community discussions, community empowerment perhaps, on what to do with almost a fifth of Scotland. And that's where land reform initiatives come in. That's where perhaps greater local democracy comes in. There's a lot of things we're going to have to look at down the line. And this is a long-term campaign. We're not going to get everything in 1 year. We're not going to get everything in 2 years, perhaps. But we're looking to get as much as we can to make the best difference for Scotland's people, our wildlife and our environment, as much as possible within the next few years.
So would you say that at the moment Revive is in a consultative stage, asking what respondents would like to see in the way of reform, rather than suggesting what that reform should be?
Yes, in many respects, no organisation can tell people what to do with their own communities. So what would grouse moors look like? People might want rewilding to happen. People might want forestry to be given a chance, natural forests to redevelop. All the arguments suggest that wildlife tourism and forestry alone provide far many more jobs to the economy and much more economic activity.
What sort of forestry are you considering then, Max? I mean, natural regeneration of trees in the uplands or some sort of commercial forestry like spruce plantations?
Revive doesn't have, as I said, a particular point of view of what should or should not necessarily be done. However, I think it's very clear that if we are saying we don't want heather burning on Scotland's peatland, because peat is such a vital source of carbon storage, then some might also argue that you do not want to plant industrial forests on peatland either. Totally personal point of view, if you look at the Revive logo with the background on it, that is a revived moor. You see the beginnings of what a moor actually starts to become quite quickly if you let life flourish on it again. We also have a video by Scotland A Big Picture, which can be seen on the front page of our website, and that shows what could happen if you let the grouse moors revive. And you can see from the beginning it's barren, there's burning, there's grouse being shot, and suddenly it's left alone and it could grow green, and forests would eventually, in a matter of decades, start to reappear naturally again. It's an important part of the campaign to allow people to see that. The reason for that is that a lot of people, when they go out into the countryside of Scotland, they go onto a grouse moor, they think, this is what Scotland looks like.
I was going to make exactly that point. Exactly that point. People think a moor is naturally barren and treeless, but that's not the case. These are heavily managed areas that are not being allowed to go through their natural cycles. I mean, Scotland's grouse moorland is simply not natural.
It's not. And it turns out that they're extremely manufactured, highly artificial habitats, which exist for the sole purpose of ensuring the maximum number of grouse to be shot for fun. And we really have to start asking those questions about whether this is a good use of so much of our land. Furthermore, a lot of these moors possibly were places where people used to stay, where used to live before the clearances. There's no reason whatsoever why such this land could not be, in some respects, be repopulated to varying degrees. There's an argument to be had for that as well.
Yeah. Your report does include an estimate of what the value of land per hectare might be under different management regimes, and housing, like anywhere, I suppose, gave the highest yield in financial terms. I'm assuming that as a coalition made up of conservation organisations, you'd prefer not to see significant amounts of house building on the moors.
I'd imagine something like that would be unrealistic. Good architecture and a design for life approach would entail that you would want to have homes that would suit the environment.
The report also talks about agriculture. I'm also assuming that Revive doesn't want to see, for example, increased numbers of sheep on the moors. I mean, they've been a disaster for upland biodiversity, and that's across the whole of the UK.
Yeah, they also went to, also, the report also goes into horticulture and many other options for modern agricultural development. But absolutely, the report once again doesn't necessarily endorse a particular point of view. But what it does do, I think, very well, is show just how insignificantly small compared to many other options and as a proportion of Scotland's economy, the grouse moor industry is. Now, that's not to say that a lot of people don't make lots of money from it. That's also not to say necessarily that a very small minority of people who do it don't enjoy doing it. But it doesn't seem to make sense from an economic point of view for the purposes of societal well-being. So that's why we need to reform it from the land reform position too.
And if you're talking about transitioning to new jobs, wages have traditionally been low for people working in the uplands. And I appreciate you're not recommending at this stage what should replace the jobs that exist at the moment. But presumably you'd like to transition to an economy that pays better than the one in place now.
That would be a very sensible suggestion, yeah. And agricultural subsidies, for instance, could perhaps be given out for societal good or the good of wildlife, people who manage the land for biodiversity. These jobs do exist and they can be reasonably well paid. However, developing communities like that with extra investment and people start moving these places, economies will develop. Healthy economies yeah. that work well with the environment around them. These could very well easily develop over time if the right political will is there to make these decisions happen.
Let's talk about that political will. Is there much interest within the Scottish Parliament for reform of grouse moors?
I think there's some very interested individuals in Parliament who would be happy to take this forward. And the purpose of the campaign is to build support for that over time. I know that several parties, we talked about land reform earlier, are very interested in that at the moment. We have Richard Leonard, the Labour leader, discussing land reform recently at the last Labour conference. You have the SNP membership who have already endorsed things such as a land value tax, which would be of interest to the campaign in the future because that's linked to land reform taxation. And you have the Green Party, which has Andy Whiteman, of course, who yeah. whose previous work before he was an MSP has been very important to this campaign. He also co-authored in a personal capacity the report on the case for reforming Scotland's driven mouse yeah. grouse moors with Ruth Tingey.
So that's Ruth Tingey of Raptor Persecution UK, who's a coalition partner, and Andy Whiteman, who wrote Who Owns Scotland, which came up with the astonishing fact that around 500 people own half of Scotland.
You fit these stats together, so few people own so much of Scotland.
Yeah.
12 to 18%, almost a fifth of Scotland is a grouse moor. And you think something's seriously, seriously up. And as for the political will for doing something about that, I think it's there. I think there's an issue which we have to get over in Scotland, and I think that's caution. I think sometimes good ideas are mistaken to be are mistaken as radical ideas. Good ideas and sensible ideas shouldn't be radical, they should be the norm. And I think moving from the status quo into something that's a little more progressive, and with inverted commas, is actually quite a trial. It's something that everything has to be done, and rightly so, in an evidence-based approach. However, there's such a huge swell of interest moving against so many types of reform in Scotland. There are well-paid lobbyists or people with a lot of money behind the grouse shooting industry, which do not want to see a single bit of change. Some of them might not want to even see licensing, which I think would be the bare minimum reform for change, which would mean that grouse moors would naturally lose their licenses if they're guilty of wildlife crime. Even arguing for these things requires a huge amount of political effort.
That's why I was asking about political will, because, you know, whether we like it or not, these landowners, and I probably should stress that not all landowners support grouse shooting, but the landowners that do are very influential and wealthy. You can't get away from that. So reform will presumably have to be legislated for, and that will take political will, presumably via the electorate themselves voting for reform.
It does, and I'm quite confident that over time we can make these arguments successfully and we can get a lot of the changes we're asking for. It also has to come from the people. Scotland has, in the recent years, had a bit of a grassroots revival. If you look at, for instance, the anti-fracking campaign in Scotland, it was the largest consultation response I think there's ever been. I might be wrong, but I think so. With 60,000 odd people signing against fracking, local communities came together to demand that fracking was banned. And in effect, this is quite an interesting point for the banning of driven grouse shooting too. Mm. Fracking isn't technically banned, but it's been legislated so that in effect it is a ban. There's a permanent moratorium on it. Now, with driven grouse shooting, we don't want to ban it, we want to reform it technically, but one could argue that if you restrict driven grouse shooting between the 31st of December and the 1st of January, you can only do it for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's still legal. It's still not banned. And that is actually legally possible. So it's just a fun little idea to play with there.
Yeah.
We've also got to remember, as you rightly say, it's the people which inform politics. And the more power the people realise they have, the more ability I think we can see genuine change. And considering how much of Scotland takes up, considering how many people have been relatively silent about it until now, I think there's real optimism to be had for the kind of change that we might achieve if we get people talking about it.
Just quickly, Max, how would you respond if Revive asks these questions and the local communities or the local people say, actually, we're quite happy with the way things are. Shooters spend in my pub, they buy fuel at my garage, they stay in my bed and breakfast.
No one's saying that you want to put any individual out of a job. That's not the campaign has been is very clear. We're not targeting individuals in this case. The important thing is to remember are there are so many alternatives that you could look to for the use of Scotland's land. There are many, many more jobs available potentially from the if you reformed Scotland's driven grouse shooting industry and found better replacements. It's important that there's a sense of morality. There has to be a moral case for looking at all those things and keeping these options open, considering the future of the planet is very uncertain right now. We have to do everything we can to ensure we have the best possible chance of survival, and that's not just human survival, that's survival of the species which help us survive.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And actually, for me personally, the morality of driven grouse shooting is a strong enough argument on its own to, you know, at the very least see reform of it. Anyway, it's early days, Max. Some of the ideas are still being formulated as we speak, and I am really grateful to you speaking with me so early on in the campaign. But Revive needs people to get involved. What plans do you have for that?
So we're looking to engage with people locally at different stages throughout this campaign. From talking to people such as, I've been recently talking to local groups from Commonweal, they are interested in putting on events to do with this in particular. I'm also interested in talking to, as I already have done, members of political party branches who have already come to me and said they're really interested in the subject and doing something about it. So there really is a grassroots concern for this. In fact, it's within political parties alone, there's been activists and members who have come to us and shown a lot of support for it. So I'm really optimistic about the campaign going forward.
And for listeners to this, you'll be putting updates and news on your website and out on social media feeds?
The website, yes, also social media as well. If you sign the Revive Pledge, if you're really interested in it.
So I have done, of course.
You have done, fantastic. And you opt in to receive the emails, I think that's how we initially got in touch.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. It was indeed, actually, yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Then you can get email updates from us and it won't bother you too much, but we'll give you the important stuff.
Yeah. It's really exciting, Max, and it's a really great idea. And I know how hard it is to put a coalition together and to keep it together.
Yeah, I've worked in coalitions before in many ways in previous employments, but this is by far the easiest one so far because the issues are so linked that, as I said earlier on, it makes total sense.
Yeah, and you're looking long-term. Any reform isn't going to come in 1 year, 2 years, or perhaps even 5 years, it is going to take time to build, and no one should expect immediate results.
Yeah, we certainly see it as a long-term campaign, one that we have to work on over the years. But I'm quite confident there are some things we can do. And the result of the Verity Commission will be really important with the way we take the campaign forward. What they say about licensing might inform the way we discuss licensing,
etc.
And that's the main framework for their work, it's licensing itself. But beyond that, we've got some big ambitions and plans, and we'll be continually putting a lot of great work together, hopefully, in order to make that vision possible.
So watch this space.
Watch this space, yeah. It's a big space to fill with the amount of land we've got to use up. So,
as I said, it's very exciting. And for those of us who are absolutely opposed to intensive grouse shooting, it's very welcome too. Max, thank you. Thank you very much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Max Wiśniewski of Revive talking with me in February 2019. For more information, please go to revive.scot, where you'll also find links to the coalition partners, and follow at Revive Coalition on Twitter. Thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to hear more from Lush, and we have a number of interviews now online focusing on, for example, wildlife crime, grouse moors and raptor persecution, please download the free Lush Player app or go to player.lush.com.